Christmas is such a unique holiday. Most holidays that we celebrate, we just have one day. I mean, we celebrate the 4th of July on the 4th of July. And we don't get too worked up the week ahead or the week after. But Christmas is extended for a whole month. We start with the first of Advent, where we kick off our events with a party. We have our Christmas gathering and our baked potato feast and food and all kinds of things, and we just keep going for a month. And Christmas is just a very unique celebration. I mean, it's an event that happened more than 2,000 years ago in a little backwater town in the Middle East without a lot of fanfare. And yet 2,000 years later, I mean, traffic jams are being caused by this celebration. So what is it that's so special about Christmas? Why is it the most celebrated holiday on the planet? Why is it that billions of people will take off work and go to church and have a party and gather their families all around them to celebrate Christmas? I want to look at today, what is it that makes this holiday so special? And so to do that, I want to begin with the Bible account of the very first Christmas when Jesus was born. And there was a group of shepherds. They were out in their fields. They were watching over their flocks. And an angel appeared to them. And here's the account from Luke chapter 2, verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And I would be too. And I think you would be too. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So I want you to see that the very first thing that we need to know about Christmas, this day that we celebrate, is that Christmas is a time for celebration. Christmas is a celebration of good news. I bring you good news of great joy. Actually, Christmas is a birthday party. At Christmas, we have more parties than any other time of the year. You probably have more Christmas parties or Christmas events to go to than all the other time of the year put together. And what's ironic is that oftentimes the guest of honor is left out of these parties. This weekend, we went out and asked people, "What are you going to celebrate this Christmas?" And here's what they said.
Hi, we're from Silver Creek Fellowship. Just want to ask you a couple questions. The first one is, what are you going to be celebrating this Christmas season?
I will be celebrating the birth of Jesus, family, peace, community.
Well, I tell my daughters that we're celebrating the fact that Santa Claus is coming to celebrate baby Jesus' birth. That way I'm merging both traditions at once.
This Christmas, I'm really celebrating like the hope and joy and love like that comes with the birth of Jesus.
So in our world today or in your life, where do you think people need peace?
I think people need peace in a lot of areas, but what comes to mind is probably just the future, that things are going to be okay. That right now, they'll be okay?
Everywhere. I think that peace starts in people's homes and their own hearts, and so I think that's the beginning of it. And as people can rectify peace within themselves and in their own lives, and that extends to their families, then that broadens out to the whole community. Yeah.
I think just in like our everyday lives, I think people just kind of lack like day-to-day peace, you know? Like they have a lot of anxiety, and then there's peace for that.
In our world today, what do you think people's biggest fear is?
Loss of connection, maybe loneliness or feeling disconnected from other people. I think relationships are what we're born to do. So just disconnection.
I think probably dying alone among many others. Again, with the future thing, just being afraid of what's happening right now and what's going to happen, things that aren't under our control sometimes.
I think that probably varies a lot. So like people who are more on the outskirts of like society, I think there's like more political fear. But for the average Joe, like for most of us, I think it's just like loneliness, isolation. So,
thank you.
So there's a lot of different things people celebrate at Christmas. And people's hearts and minds are filled with all kinds of hopes and dreams and thoughts. And Christmas is oftentimes a time that we think about other people. But the bottom line, no matter what you think about Christmas, it's a time to celebrate. Christmas is a party, and you're supposed to celebrate at parties. But how many of you would agree that sometimes we get so busy preparing for the party, getting ready, buying presents, planning, that it actually cuts into our celebration time? And we can lose a lot of joy, the kind of joy that you find in the moment of celebrating Christmas, because we're so busy, we're so preoccupied. Kathy and I went Christmas shopping a couple of weeks ago, and we went over to the Woodburn country stores, and it was packed. And as we were going through, I noticed there wasn't very many people that looked happy. In fact, they looked pressured, and they looked stressful. It was hard to get a parking spot, and you know, the stuff was picked over in the stores, and people were going through, and some of them even looked a little bit cranky. And I actually wondered if I might have been one of those that looked a little cranky. Because if you're not careful, it can kind of start to wear off on you. The attitudes that people have around you can start to wear off on you, and you can lose your joy. So what is Christmas all about? We need to stop and ask ourselves, why do we celebrate? Why is it a party? Because the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy, and it's for everybody. So what is this good news that's for everybody? I want to look at three things today that is so good about Christmas that it compels us to celebrate. And the first thing that we need to know is that God loves you. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now that's really good news. God so loved the world. And that's why he sent Jesus. Jesus was sent on a mission of love. Jesus was sent with a message of love. Christmas is God saying to you, I love you. Now the Bible says God is love. It doesn't say he has love, it says he is love. Love is who God is. It's his very nature. God is love. So you really need to get this. He created the entire universe so that he could create this planet, so that he could create the human race, so that he could create you, so that he could love you. You were created as an object of God's love. God made you to love you, and he wants you to love him back. It's the only reason you're alive. It's the only reason your heart's beating right now. It's the only reason you're taking a breath. If God didn't want to love you, friends, you wouldn't exist. God made you to love you. And he loves you on your good days, and he loves you on your bad days. He loves you when you can really feel his love. He loves you when you can't feel it at all. He loves you when you think you deserve it. He loves you when you know you don't deserve it. Because God's love is not based upon what you do. God's love is based upon who he is. God is love. So the first thing we celebrate is that God loves you. And the second thing that we celebrate is that God is with you. The Bible says Jesus was to be called Emmanuel. That's one of the names of Jesus, Emmanuel. And that means God is with us. Hebrews 13:5 tells us this. For God has said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Now, friends, I know in this room today there are people who have been abandoned in life. Some of you have been abandoned by parents. Some of you have been abandoned by spouses. Some of you have been abandoned by people that you thought were your friends. And if that's you, I'm very sorry about that. But the Bible tells us that God will never leave us or abandon us. And you may not feel it. You may not feel God's love, but what that means is you're just not connected to it. You're just not tuned into it. You're not plugged into the source. But the Bible says God is with us, Emmanuel. And the third reason that we celebrate, the first is that God loves you. The second is God is with you. The third reason is God is for you. He loves you, he's with you, and he's for you, which means God's on your side. God wants you to win. God wants you to be successful in life. In fact, Jesus said this, John 3:17, the very next verse, right after the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. See, there are so many people who are afraid of God. Maybe you're here today and you're a little bit afraid of God. Maybe when people start talking about God, you start to get nervous. Well, you know why? You know what causes you to be nervous when people start talking about God? It's guilt. Guilt separates us from God. What happens is people start talking about God, they start talking about getting close to God, and you begin to think, if I get close to God, he's going to remind me of all the things in my life that are wrong. And he's going to tell me I could be doing better. And he's going to scold me. And he's going to say, you know you could be doing better. The scripture says God did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came to save it. God says, I didn't come to scold you. I came to save you. And that's really good news. And by the way, Christians, are you a follower of Christ? If you are, then it's not your role to condemn the world. See, some Christians think that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what the pastor's supposed to do. I'm supposed to stand up here in the front and tell you, you know, you guys could be doing a lot better than you are. And you know you could be. Friends, I'm not going to spend 1 second of my life condemning people. Not 1 second. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, and I'm not going to condemn the world either. See, we're not called to that. Actually, what are we called to? We're called to help save people, to point them to the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus didn't come to scare us. He came to save us. That's why the very first words the angel said, don't be afraid. Some people think God's kind of like, you know, the Wizard of Oz or the Great Oz. It's just scaring the bejeebers out of people and they're just shaking. That's not how God is. Almost every time angels appear in the Bible or the presence of God comes, the first words are, don't be afraid. Kurt spoke about this Thursday night pretty extensively, and you ought to listen to that message off our website. But he reminded us that in the Bible there are more than 365 fear nots. I mean, that's one for every day of the year. Fear not. And I think you don't have to be that smart to get the message. God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. Actually, what God says is, I'm with you. I'm for you. I love you. And that's the good news. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's good news of great joy for everybody. I don't care today if you came, if you're Catholic or Protestant or Pentecostal or Jewish or Muslim or Mormon or Baptist or Buddhist, it doesn't matter. It's good news for you. It's great joy for you. God says, I love you, I'm with you, and I'm for you. So that's a reason to celebrate right there. The second reason for Christmas that we make such a big deal about it is that Christmas is a time for salvation. It's the second thing the angels mention when they announce the birth of Jesus. In Luke 2:11, it says, today in the town of David, a Savior, see that's the salvation part, a Savior has been born to you. To you. Jesus is a personal Savior. He's been born to you. And he is Christ the Lord. Now, salvation is a three-dimensional thing. The first thing about salvation is you're saved from something. And then you're saved for something. And you are saved by something. I want you to understand this. It's the key to really being able to enter into a relationship with Jesus that will save you from your sins. Because the first thing is you're saved from your past. All the guilt, all the sin, all the stuff that causes worry and bitterness and boredom and all those different things. We're saved from something. But then you're saved for something. There's a purpose for your life. God has a plan for you. We spend a great deal of time at Silver Creek Fellowship talking about God's purposes for your life. We are a purpose-driven church. Last year, we spent a lot of time looking at what on earth am I here for? And one of the things we did when we studied some clips out of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, we were reminded in the very first of that book, it said, the very first line, it said, it's not about you. It's about God. It's about God's purposes. In fact, God's purposes have captivated us. They've caught us up in His great plan. So you're saved for something, and then you're saved by something. Saved by something. Yeah, you're saved by God's grace, which means you didn't earn it. You didn't qualify for it. You didn't deserve it. Wonderful, saved from sin. You know, one of the very first things that we see in the Christmas account in Matthew chapter 1 is when an angel appeared to Joseph. You know, Joseph is really struggling. His fiance gave him shocking news. He's really struggling with the whole thing. And an angel shows up and comforts him. And then he says this in verse 21. Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. He will save people from their sins. So what in the world is sin? My guess is each of us have our own list. Depending on how you were brought up, your upbringing, it affects your list. And maybe early in your life you came to Christ and you received forgiveness from your sin, and then you came to church and they begin to tell you about all the new stuff that you can't do now that you're a Christian. And they said, now write this down on your list. You know, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't go there. And don't drink and don't smoke and don't cuss or chew or run around with girls that do. And that was kind of the basic list. And the fact is, everybody's got their own list of what they think sin is. You got your list, I've got my list, and this is what I've discovered. I always think my sins are not as bad as yours. But really, that's not it at all. The sins on our list, they're not the real problem. The things on your list are actually sinful actions. But behind those sinful actions is an attitude called sin. Sin isn't something you do, sin is an attitude. You ever think about this? How do you spell sin? It's S-I-N. What's the middle letter? I. Pride. P-R-I-D-E. What's the middle letter of pride? I. See, the reality is you got an I problem. Sin is an I problem. Pride is an I problem. I want to be my boss. I don't need God. I'm doing just fine on my own. God, you do your thing, I'll do my own. See, when that's the attitude that we call sin. Sin is saying, God, I know what will make me happy more than you do. No, I know you said do certain things, but I'm just going to ignore those things because I know more than you do, God. When we have that attitude, and all of us have had that attitude, where we just say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Forget you, God. I'm just going to do what I want to do. We are in pretty familiar company. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Romans 3, 9. No one is righteous, not even one. Wow. I mean, you just have to think of the most righteous, godly, holy person that you can think of. And then the scripture says no one, not even one. All have gone astray. See, the attitude of going your own way has caused you to be separated from God. And that's what happens. And then you begin to pray. And you begin to try to communicate with God, and it seems like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling, like they're not getting through. Have you ever felt like that? You're just praying and nothing's getting through. And the reason you feel like that is because you're not getting through. You've been separated by sin from God. And that's why he sent Jesus to be your Savior. See, every single one of your problems is caused by sin. Every one of them. Sin has caused confusion in your life. Sin causes guilt. It causes shame. Sin causes regret. It causes bitterness and resentment. It causes you to hold a grudge. It causes you worry and anxiety. It's the root cause of fear. Sin is what is behind depression and discouragement and emptiness. Sin brings despair into our lives. It causes conflict between us and other people. Every single one of your problems is caused by the fact you're not connected to God. You're separated by your own sin. I am going to do my own thing. And as a result, Jesus said, I want to set you free from that. I want to release you. I want to save you. Save me from what, Jesus? Well, from the burden of the guilt and shame. Did you know that God, he doesn't want you to go around feeling guilty all the time? If you're wrestling with those feelings, if you're feeling guilty all the time, those feelings are not from God. God wants to set you free from those feelings. God wants to set you free from the pain of bitterness. God wants you not to have bitterness have a hold on your heart. You know, bitterness is like a cancer that eats you alive from the inside out. God wants to set you free from the expectations of other people, where you're always worried about, what will people think? God wants to set you free from the fear of death. God wants to set you free from the burdens of worry and anxiety and stress. God doesn't want you wandering through life with stress all the time. He says, I want to set you free. Now, maybe you've never really realized that you needed a Savior. In fact, I know some people have never thought about it at all. But all of us, if we were honest with ourselves, would admit we have things in our own lives that we don't like. We have things that we don't like, and actually we've tried to change. We've tried all kinds of ways to change, and we just can't. We tried, but we can't. You've tried, and I've tried, and we can't. In my own power, I can't change, and you can't either. And that's why we need a Savior. There are many, many things in my life that I wish were different. I wish I'd said something different. I wish I'd done something different. I wish I'd acted differently. But on my own power, I can't do it. I need an outside power source. And I know oftentimes people tell me, I can't change. And then there are times that people tell me, well, actually, Rob, I can change. I can do it. No, you can't. If you could, you already would have. In a week or so, some of you are going to make New Year's resolutions. A new improvement program, a new diet, a new whatever it is. And you know what? In about a month, all of those plans are going to be in the dumpster. Why? Because on your own, you can't change. You need God's power. You need a Savior. You know, if the truth be told, if we were really honest about it, sometimes it feels like our lives are just out of control. Sometimes our lives feel like we're in a river that's taking us wherever it wants to take us. If you feel that way, like your life's out of control, like it's just you're just going down the river and there's nothing you can do about it, welcome to the human race. That's a very common feeling. The Apostle Paul felt that way 2,000 years ago. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. I'm going to read this from the Message Bible, verse 24. He says, I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Have you ever felt like that? I've tried everything. Nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. See, that's the answer right there. You need Jesus. You need a Savior. See, but too many times we're looking in the wrong place for salvation. And that's why we're frustrated. See, you're looking at things to give you life. You're looking at things to give you fulfillment. So sometimes you're thinking like this, if I could just get married, then everything would be great. If I could just get a job, or if I could just get a promotion, or if I could just get my retirement account to the point, or if we could just have a baby, if our babies would grow up and graduate, or if our babies would grow up and graduate and then move away from home. I mean, we've got these ideas that that's what it'll take to make everything right. And if you're looking for those things, you're looking in the wrong place. A lot of people are looking for salvation in a self-help book or in some kind of therapy or in a fad diet or some kind of vacation. Here's what you need to know. If you think going to Tahiti and spending a month on the beach will solve your problems, guess what? The problem is when you go to Tahiti, you take you with you. And all of your problems will be there because the stress and the problems begin in your heart. That's where the stress is at. See, the answer's not a place. The answer's not a program. The answer's not a pill. The answer is not your own dissatisfaction as a person. Here's what you need to know. You were made by God. You were made for God. And until you understand that, life is just not going to make sense. So you need to get saved from your past. Get it out of your mind. Stop carrying all that garbage around. And when you take yesterday's failures and bring them into today, it just messes everything up. And you need to be saved for a purpose. God says, I want to save you for a purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9. He saved us and he called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. You remember when I said a few minutes ago about the purpose-driven life where it says it's not about you? I mean, it's a radical thought, and it's the exact opposite of what our culture tells us. Our culture tells us it's all about you. You can have whatever you want. Just do it. It's all about you. You know, if it's all about you, friends, you're never going to find significance living for yourself. And the reason you won't is because God didn't create you that way. God put a hold in your heart that is greater than you. God designed you with a place that only he fulfills. And so if you've tried everything else, could I just ask you, why not try God? Really, if you've tried everything else, why not try God? Jesus says, I want to save you from your past. I want to save you for a purpose. And then he says, I want to save you by my grace. And what that means is you don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You can't buy your way in. You can't get good enough to get into heaven because heaven's perfect and you're not. And I'm not either. A long time ago, I messed it up. I stopped batting 1,000 a long time ago. I got to get into heaven on somebody else's ticket. And that's Jesus Christ, who was perfect because he's God. And he said to me, I'll give you my grace. Grace. This is the great news about grace. God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. Rarely do we sit down to pray to God and say, oh God, give me what I deserve. That'd be a fearful prayer, wouldn't it? Thank God that he gives us what we need. Grace is when God says, I'm going to take your problem, I'm going to make it my problem. The old anachronism of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what he paid for it. Ephesians 2:8 says, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast. So, salvation is God's gift to you. God wants to save you. Jesus wants to save you from your hurts. He wants to save you from your habits. He wants to save you from those hang-ups that keep catching up with you. He wants to save you for his purpose. He wants to save you by his grace. But you got to quit trying to do it yourself. Friends, the message this Christmas is God wants you to relax in his provision. You need to let go of all the things that you're trying to pull onto, strive into. You've got to let go. You've got to let God. Here's something that you might write down. This will help you. God is God, and you're not. Write that down. God is God. You're not. Whenever you start acting like God, you're going to get under stress. When Jesus Christ came to earth, he came as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby. He grew up. He became a man. He died for our sins, and that's why we celebrate, because God sent a Savior. So the first reason we celebrate, I bring you good news of great joy. It's for everybody. The second reason we celebrate is for salvation. For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the third reason that we celebrate at Christmas is because Christmas is a time for reconciliation. It's the third thing the angel said in that first Christmas announcement. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Let there be peace on earth and goodwill toward men is what the angel said. And that's called reconciliation. Reconciliation is when a broken relationship is restored. When a boyfriend and a girlfriend who've broken up get back together. When a husband and wife who have separated get back together, that's called reconciliation. When a parent and a child who are estranged reunite, that's called reconciliation. When harmony is restored. Where do you need reconciliation in your life? Because that's what Christmas is all about. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Where do you need peace? Where would you like to see peace in your life? I was thinking about the people that were interviewed at the beginning of the message. And they were talking about peace just about everywhere. And I guess I'd like to see peace everywhere. I'd like to see peace in broken families. I'd like to see peace in politics. For sure we could use it. I'd like to see peace with each other. I'd like to see peace in my own life. I'd like to see peace at home. I'd like to see peace in our city, in our nation, in the world. I'd like to see peace everywhere. But really, is it realistic to have peace on earth? Or is it just some sort of pipe dream to hope for that? Will there ever be peace among nations? This is what I think. There'll never be peace on earth until there's peace among nations. And there'll never be peace among nations until there's peace in communities. And there'll never be peace in communities until there's peace in families. And there'll never be peace in families until you find God's peace. The greatest need in our world is for you, for individuals, to meet the Prince of Peace at Christmas. Because Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This tells us that God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. We have been reconciled. But it goes a step further. It says, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, then you are called to the ministry of reconciliation. See, what God says is, once I've shown you grace, I want you to show grace to other people. God says, I've cut you some slack. Why don't you cut some slack to other people? Don't hold people to such a heavy standard. Show them grace. Show them God's peace. Be a peacemaker. Jesus said this in Matthew in his most famous Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And so if you really are a child of God, if you really know Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, as your Lord and Savior, if you're following him, then you need to be a peacemaker at work, not a troublemaker. You need to be a peacemaker at home, not a troublemaker. You need to be a peacemaker at school, not a troublemaker. You need to build people up and not tear them down. You need to compliment people more than you criticize them. You're going to have to begin to love people the way Jesus loves people. Be a peacemaker. Christmas is the perfect time to show grace to other people because we're reminded of the grace that God shows us. God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. I'm so happy about that. So what relationship do you have that needs to be mended this Christmas? Who do you need to restore a broken relationship with this Christmas? Who do you need to reconcile with? See, that's the spirit of Christmas. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now, I know what you're thinking. I can't do it. And when families get together at Christmas, sometimes it raises up a whole lot of bad memories. Oftentimes we live with good memories of Christmas, but sometimes it raises up bad memories and past hurts. I've shared with you before, one of the most vivid memories of my entire life is of a Christmas Eve at my grandparents', which was such a warm, loving place. But on this Christmas, my uncle did not want a Christmas present, and he did not want to buy Christmas presents for anybody else. Well, my family didn't care what my uncle wanted. They bought him a Christmas present anyway. But he wasn't going to open it. Now, my grandfather had other ideas about that. And when my uncle was stiff-necked and foolish, my grandfather uninvited him to the Christmas celebration and physically threw him down the front stairs of their house. Now, all of us were there in our Christmas outfits and, you know, opening presents, and I was about 7 years old, and it was a terrifying experience. It reminds me today, even, of how much dysfunction we can have. And there are things you just got to let go of. And I know sometimes you think, I hear what you're saying, Rob, but I just can't let it go. That hurt me too bad. I just can't forgive them. And I mean, I know what you're talking about. Because in a sense, you're right. You can't forgive them, at least not on your own. And that's why you need Jesus. That's why you need a Savior. Because on your own, you don't have the ability to forgive. And instead, you're trying to hold it all in, and it's hurting you. And some of you are still allowing people from your past to hurt you right today in your present. Let me say this just as kind as I can. That's dumb. That's dumb. They can't hurt you anymore unless you allow them to hurt you by holding on to the hurt. You got to let it go because it's hurting you more than anybody else. You need to let it go. But in order to let it go, you're going to have to let Jesus Christ fill you with his love. Now, I know you've experienced a lot in life. And not all of it was good. Some of you, you've had some real harm done to you. You've had some real hurts. You've had heartaches that are just so painful, so real. But friends, it's all pointing at this moment. Because I don't think you're here by accident. God knew before you were born, before the foundations of the world, he knew you'd be here at this Christmas service today. God knew before you were born that on Sunday, December 24, 2017, in the late service at Silver Creek Fellowship, you'd be sitting here just long enough that he could get your attention so that he could say to you, listen, I've seen every hurt in your life, and I've never stopped loving you. I love you more than you'll ever know. I made you to love you. And I've been watching and I've been waiting for you to love me back. And you're not just here by accident. You're here because I want you to know me. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I'm with you. I want you to know that I'm for you. I want to save you from your past. I want to save you for a purpose. I want to save you by my grace. And if you'll let me do that, I'll give you peace. But friends, you've got to open the door. This is a gift that has to be received. If you were to give me a gift for Christmas, and that'd be really nice of you if you did, but if you were to give me a gift at Christmas and I never opened it, well, you'd be disappointed. You'd think, I got him a gift, he didn't even open it. And Not only that, it would be a worthless gift because I didn't get any benefit from it if I never opened it. Well, Jesus Christ is God's gift for you. And yet some of you have gone Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, and you've never opened the biggest gift under the tree, the gift of God's salvation. It's a free gift given to you. I mean, why even celebrate Christmas if you're not going to open this gift? It doesn't make sense to leave the best, the gift of past forgiven, purpose for living, a home in heaven. Who would ever leave a gift like that unopened? But Jesus, who wants to give it to you so badly, says, I'm not going to break down the door. I'm not going to break down the door. You've got to invite me in. Acts chapter 10, verse 35, says, it makes no difference who you are or where you're from. Oh, boy, I am glad about that. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. If you want God and you're ready to do as he says, the door is open. Friends, the door is open. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. It doesn't matter what your religious background is. Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Muslim, Mormon, Buddhist, Baptist, Hindu. You may pray to your big toe. I mean, it's not about religion. You got to get that clear. This God did not send Jesus to give us a new religion. God sent Jesus so that you could have a personal relationship with him. God sent Jesus to tell you, I love you, and I want you to love me back. It's all about relationship. And friends, you could start it today. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray a prayer. Many of you have prayed a prayer like this prayer. This is not a magic prayer. It's not the only prayer. But I just want you to close your eyes and settle your hearts for a minute with me. And say, Dear God, I've known about you, but I want to know you in a way that is real and personal. I want to follow you, and I want to experience the miracle of Christmas in my own life. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins, fill me with your Holy Spirit, let me know the joy of walking with you through this journey you put me on earth, and then I look forward to spending forever with you in heaven. Use me to extend your kingdom until that day when you return or you call me home. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.